you take this to its logical conclusion, one would have an image that we are, in fact, at this, the end of the world is nigh, and we are all completely brainwashed, and there's no space left, and I don't believe we're there yet. And I think it's really important that we don't overstate the case and that we admit that there are cracks and fissures in all of these corporate structures. And sometimes when a corporation is concentrating on one particular project, they look the other way and all kinds of interesting things happen in the corner.
It is the case in every period of history where injustice based on falsehoods, based on taking away the right and freedoms of people to live and survive with dignity, that eventually, when you call a bluff, the tables turn.
Ultimately, capital puts its foot down somewhere. And anywhere it puts its foot down, it can be held accountable.
Originally, Walmart and Kathy Lee Gifford had said, why should we believe you that children work in this factory?
What we didn't tell them was that Wendy Diaz, in the center of the picture, was on a plane to the United States. This is Wendy Diaz.
She comes to the United States. She's unstoppable.
Congress heard testimony today from children who testified they were exploited by sweatshops overseas.
Kathy Lee Gifford apologized to Wendy Diaz. It was the most amazing thing I'd seen. This powerful celebrity leans over and says, Wendy, please believe me, I didn't know these conditions existed. And now that I do, I'm gonna work with you, I'm gonna work with these other people, and it'll never happen again. And that night, we signed an agreement with Kathy Lee Gifford.
I thought it would be a relatively easy process, and it isn't. For every question I have, there seem to be five questions that come back at me. We have been
as far as Walmart goes and Kathy Lee, pretty much everything returned to sweatshop conditions. But because this was fought out on television for weeks, this incident with Kathy Lee Gifford actually took the sweatshop issue to every single part of the country. And so, frankly, after that, there's hardly a single person in this country who doesn't know about child labor or sweatshops or starvation wages.
So what we need to do is to look at the very roots of the legal form that created this beast, and we need to think, who can hold them accountable?
They're not graven in stone. They can be dismantled. In fact, most states have laws which require that they be dismantled.
For too long now, giant corporations have been allowed to undermine democracy here in the United States and all over the world. But today, the National Lawyers Guild and 29 other groups and individuals are fighting back. We are calling upon State Attorney General Dan Lundgren to comply with California law and to revoke the corporate charter of the Union Oil Company of California for its repeated and grievous offenses.
This is a statute that is well known. It has been used, it can be used. What this will mean is the dissolution of the Union Oil Company of California, the sale of its assets under careful court orders to others who will carry on in the public interest.
This is nothing more than just a smear campaign. This company has been part of California's economy for over 100 years, thousands of jobs. Doesn't mean it's never made any mistakes, paid for those mistakes, but this demonizing of a company, I think I'm in a time warp or something, that I fell asleep and I woke up 50 years ago when we heard that kind of rhetoric.
Well, we have a very, very broad set of people angry,
well,
very
it's a broad
angry
set
at this corporation.
People from the left of the spectrum who don't produce anything except hot air.
From its complicity in unspeakable human rights violations overseas against women, gays, laborers, and indigenous peoples, to its efforts to subvert U.S. foreign policy and deceive the courts, the public, and its own stockholders, Unocal is emblematic of corporate abuse and corporate power run amok.
Extending a business deal with Burma Army is immoral. Unocal cannot do business in Burma without supporting that hopeless regime. It cannot justify.
The curse for me has been the fact that in making these documentary films, I've seen that they actually can impact change. So I'm just compelled to, you know, keep making them.
Yep, that's me, doing what I do. All year long, I give big companies a hard time. But at Christmas time, I like to set aside my differences and reach out to big business, like cigarette companies.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
I went to Littleton, Colorado, where the Columbine shooting took place. And I didn't know this, but when I arrived, I learned what the primary job is of the parents of the kids who go to Columbine High School. The number one job in Littleton, Colorado, they work for Lockheed Martin, building weapons of mass destruction. But they don't see the connect between what they do for a living and what their kids do at school or did at school. And so I'm kind of, you know, up on my, you know, high horse, you know, thinking about this. And I thought, you know, I said to my wife, you know, we both are, you know, sons and daughters of auto workers in Flint, Michigan. There isn't a single one of us back in Flint, any of us, including us, who ever stopped to think, this thing we do for a living, the building of automobiles, is probably the single biggest reason why the polar ice caps are going to melt and end civilization as we know it. There's no connect between, I'm just an assembler on an assembly line building a car, which is good for people in society. It moves them around. But never stop to think about the larger picture and the larger responsibility of what we're doing. Ultimately, we have to, as individuals, accept responsibility for our collective action and the larger harm that it causes, you know, in our world.
Today, the first of two historic town hall meetings will get underway in Arcata, California. 61% of Arcadans voted in favor of publicly discussing whether democracy is even possible when large corporations wield so much wealth and power under law. They also voted to form a committee to ensure democratic control over corporations in Arcata.
Corporations are not accountable to the democratic process. That's what this is about. I don't want to make decisions about everything that goes on in their corporation, but I do have a strong belief that they need to be held accountable to us.
Yeah. If we don't like certain product, if we don't like Pepsi Cola or Bank of America, or if you don't like what they do, don't use them. That's the way I see the, you know, people's power is.
You have a lot more money than me. You have more votes than I do. If we use the model of boycott and voting with your dollars, that's an undemocratic situation.
What are we afraid of? I mean, are all the businesses going to leave Arcata? I don't think so. And if they did, we'd deal with it, or we'd figure it out, or we'd do something different. We're creative people. I just don't see why we're afraid.
If you think it's tough making a decision where to buy your stuff today, how tough do you think it is when there's only one provider, and it's the state? And by the way, you don't get to have this little democracy forum in those communities either.
People that say they fear their government, I really hope that they understand that they're allowed to participate in their government. They're not allowed to participate in anything the corporations do. So don't fear the government. Help it be the government that you won't fear.
If this many people around the country would do this instead of watching Super Bowl Sunday, our nation would be controlled by the people, not by the corporations.
No more chain restaurants in Arcata after a long-awaited decision.
Over the past decade, we have been gaining ground. And when I say we, I mean ordinary people committed to the welfare of all of humanity, all people irrespective of gender and class and race and religion, all species on the planet. We managed to take the biggest government and one of the largest chemical companies to court on the case of Neem and win a case against them. W.R. Grace and the U.S. government's patent on Neem was revoked by a case we brought along with the Greens of Europe in Parliament and the International Organic Agriculture Movement. We won because we worked together. We have overturned nearly 99% of the basmati patent of rice tech. Again, because we worked as a worldwide coalition. Old women in Texas, scientists in India, activists sitting in Vancouver, a little basmati action group. We stopped the third world being viewed as the pirate, and we showed the corporations were the pirate. Look how little it took for Gandhi to work against the salt laws of the British, where the British decided the way they would make their armies and police forces bigger is just tax the salt. And all that Gandhi did was walk to the beach, pick up the salt, and say, nature gives it for free, we need it, we've always made it, we will violate your laws, we will continue to make salt. We've had a similar commitment for the last decade in India that any law that makes it illegal to save seed is a law not worth following. We will violate it because saving seed is a duty to the earth and to future generations. We thought it would really be symbolic. It is more than symbolic. It is becoming a survival option. Farmers who grow their own seeds, save their own seeds, don't buy pesticides, have threefold more incomes than farmers who are locked into the chemical treadmill, depending on Monsanto and Cargill. We have managed to create alternatives that work for people.
There are many tools for bringing back community, but the importance is not the tools. I mean, there's litigation, there's legislation, there's direct action, there's education, boycotts, social investment. There's many, many ways to address issues of corporate power. But in the final analysis, what's really important is the vision. You have to have a better story.
Do I know you well enough to call you fellow plunderers? There is not an industrial company on earth, not an institution of any kind, not mine, not yours, not anyone's, that is sustainable. I stand convicted by me, myself alone, not by anyone else, as a plunderer of the earth, but not by our civilization's definition. By our civilization's definition, I'm a captain of industry, in the eyes of many, a kind of modern-day hero. But really, really, the first industrial revolution is flawed, it is not working, it is unsustainable, it is the mistake. And we must move on to another and better industrial revolution and get it right this time. When I think of what could be, I visualize an organization of people committed to a purpose. And the purpose is doing no harm. I see a company that has severed the umbilical cord to earth for its raw materials, taking raw materials that have already been extracted and using them over and over again, driving that process with renewable energy. It is our plan, it remains our plan, to climb Mount Sustainability, that mountain that's higher than Everest, infinitely higher than Everest, far more difficult to scale. That point at the top, symbolizing zero footprint.
So we've got to undo a lot of things in order to be smart enough to do this really dangerous and risky and difficult work, you know, the best way that we possibly can. And that means people coming together and learning a whole lot of stuff that we just don't know, that has been driven out of the culture, driven out of the society, driven out of our minds. That, to me, is the most exciting thing. That is happening. It's happening all over the world now.
In cierto momento de la lucha, el momento más culminante, el ejército se acuarteló, la policía también no salió de su cuartel, los congresistas desaparecieron, el gobernador se ocultó, denunció al gobernador, no había autoridad legal, la única autoridad legítima era el pueblo, que estaba en un cabildo, que estaba en la plaza y que tomaba las decisiones en grandes asambleas y al final decidió sobre el agua. Y creo que la gente, los jóvenes y los viejos de mucho tiempo pudimos saborear, digamos, pudimos saciarnos de esa sed de democracia.
¡Y así lo hemos conseguido, compañeros!
Hemos heredado una empresa, como toda empresa pública, con problemas técnicos, con problemas financieros, con problemas legales y con problemas administrativos. Nos estamos enfrentando. Porque si demostramos que es la gente sencilla y trabajadora la que puede dar solución a sus problemas, podemos estar a las puertas de pedir de que todo aquello que se privatizó, todo aquello que se vendió, todo aquello que está en manos de las corporaciones, vuelvan a las manos de la población. Y ahí aprendí una lección muy importante, de que uno no puede desconfiar en la capacidad del pueblo. Un eslogan que siempre yo había repetido en las marchas, de que el pueblo unido jamás será vencido. Y ver eso para mí fue muy grandioso.
Canada's most popular documentary, The Corporation, now on DVD. More than 8 hours of extras on 2 discs, commentaries, the making of, deleted scenes, and more. 165 new interview clips on 23 topics with related web links and strategies for change. Special offers at thecorporation.com.
Make us social change. World domination not included.